Radio Pulpit, 657 AM, your daily companion. Real radio for real people, serving a real God. Tune in to Radio Pulpit, 657 AM. Download our app and listen on radiopulpit.co.za.
Thank you so much to Johan Els and greetings to you. We trust the Father is doing you well, man. Blessing you so much in a mighty way. The best of friends we are. This is happening right through up to 8. And of course, Johan Els is back with you tomorrow. And then it's taking you through, I call it the joyride. And one day I will explain, you know, why I call it the joyride. We used to have a program that started at 3. And some of the people who had been driving would say, it was such a joy to listen to you. So I would feature in Johan Els's show. They called it Spectrum then, you know. I remember I would feature, you know, those days, and then they would say, it is such a joyride. And of course, even before that, there was a friend of mine in another radio station, very big radio station, and he would have a show, and when he would be playing the music, he would say, this is a joyride. And that's how it started. That's how it came about. Every show that makes a difference in the lives of people we know, it becomes a joyride. We are riding on the joy of the Elohim, which is our strength. Thank you so much, Johan. And then now about food. What's happening, man? Butternuts in Durban.
Wow. Phulaphula iRadio Pulpit ukhanyiseleke kweli lizwe elimnyama. Zivulele ngokwakho iapp yethu okanye umamele kuradiopulpit.co.za. Siyafumaneka kuDSTV Audio Channel 882. Ukanti sikhona naku OpenView 607. Radio Pulpit 657 AM. Umhlobo wakho wemihla ngemihla.
Okay, then we will be featuring Professor Samuel Kabamba. I was talking to him just recently now. I'll get him on air. And we will also talk to Pastor Karabo Moraka. And we are going to touch on the issue of rebuking sin. If something is wrong in the nation, why is the church afraid of rebuking? This is a question that stands there and there. Churches are just busy competing about preaching well and singing well. But when there's something that is a serious misdemeanor, do we see the church saying, look, this is wrong, man. You shouldn't be doing this. This is not right. This should not be happening, you know. Things should be happening right, and things should be happening according to the order. But we find those who are known as the church even endorsing the wrongdoings, you know, and embracing, you know, the perpetuators of wrong. It's something I was asking some of the people who were really conversing these past few weeks, and I know them very close and personal, very, very close, more than you can imagine. And many of them listen to Johan Els. They don't listen to me. They say I'm boring. But I tell you that, you know, at times they would say to me, all right, with things happening the way that they do, you who say you are the church, where is your voice? When things are happening like this, why are you quiet? Why are you silent? If something is described as sin, and a nation is endorsing it, and they have the body of the Hamashiach, the body of Christ, in that nation, is that body of Christ reluctant to call a spade, man, to say, okay, this is wrong, this is sin, this should not be happening, this should not be, look, man, you're going about this thing very wrong. Or even making recommendations. For instance, at the juncture that we are in now, it should be the church also making recommendations. But you, still, I can tell you.
Become equipped with in-depth knowledge of the Bible with Thompson Mashakeni every Tuesday live at 6 p.m. Listen live on Radio Pulpit, 657 a.m. or catch the podcast on radiopulpit.co.za.
Radio Pulpit's Facebook page makes you more a part of the station than ever before. Now you can give your opinion regarding our programs or even contact your favorite presenter. You can get the latest news and existing programs and communicate with other listeners. Come on, let your fingers do the talking on Radio Pulpit's Facebook page. It's interactive and dynamic. Just visit facebook.com/Radio Pulpit.
Real radio for real people, serving a real God. Tune in to Radio Pulpit 657 AM. Download our app and listen on radiopulpit.co.za.
657 medium wave Radio Pulpit. We trust the Father is doing you well, man. And been trying to connect with our guests and was able to find them. Let me start with Pastor Samuel Kabamba. Professor, greetings to you and welcome to the show, sir.
Yeah, thank you very much, and greetings to you too. And we are so blessed to be here, and we are here to share the Word of God. And I want to give a big thanks to Radio Prophet and a big thanks to all our listeners. And tonight, as you're going to say the word, may all of us participate, and may all of us be blessed.
Yes, absolutely. I hope you're well, though, Professor.
I am fine. Just the cold is too much.
Yeah.
You know, I'm just coming from the flu, very complicated flu.
Hey,
but
sorry.
I'm fine.
Yeah,
everything's fine now.
I'm sorry, Mruti, man. I'm sorry.
No, it's okay.
Yeah. And then we also have Muruti Karabo Mraka on the line. Greetings to you, Muruti. Welcome, sir.
Greetings, my brother, and greetings to Prof. Kabamba. And also our beloved listeners and participants, of course, on the radio program tonight. Mm. Thank you for welcoming all of us, my brother. We greet in the name of the Messiah, Yeshua.
Thank you so much, Muruti. Thank you so much. And, of course, I just started, yapping about what we are going to be talking about. Rebuking sin, as we should,
mm-hmm.
and looking into the status quo, and looking into the nation, not necessarily the current situations, but even the four current situations, situations that had been before. One is able to see and deduce the silence of the church, so deafening. To an extent, I don't know, man. We are found arguing amongst ourselves, which is not a bad thing at all, because we need to sit down and reason together. I mean, Paul was engaged in that throughout. It's fine, but we also have been sent into the world to make disciples, and how do you make disciples? By showing what is right and also pointing out what is wrong, what should be done and what should be omitted and what should not be done. Now, a friend of mine was having a show in this big radio station, and they were talking about the developments of today, and they were saying, we hear everyone is saying something from every corner, but no one hears the church. And I'm not talking about Christian political parties. I'm talking about the church, the body of Christ. And saying there is quite less that is being spoken by the church. Not that the church should be trending on social networks and TikTok and all that. But that the people who are in the church should be making a difference in the communities where they live. And, of course, showing that which the Father approves and that which He does not approve, that which He holds as His own righteousness and that which He does not. And it is something that no one talks about, no one looks into. And I spoke about the unfolding of things even now, even today. And one can say without a doubt, the deafening silence. A friend of mine once taught me this word. He said, your silence is deafening. You're too quiet in the meetings. And I said, there are meetings that I think I should talk. There are those that I think I don't even qualify to talk. And he said, no, man, you need to talk. Now, when it comes to sin, are we rebuking sin as we should, or have we become selective? Are we rebuking sin the way we should, or have we become somewhat, somehow, silent on the issue of sin? Those things that were, one would be rebuked for 10 years ago, about 60% of them today, one is no longer rebuked of such. You know? And the notion of denouncing sin on the pulpit is somewhat seemingly secretively discouraged. It's like there is this memo, secret memo that is going around pastors to say, you stop denouncing sin. Obey human rights, people's rights. Can't be talking like that. People have their own rights now. Because the aspect of rebuking sin as we should was very prevalent some years ago. And until at some time, I remember as a student at university, there was a time when there was a law that was being permeated and they were testing the waters. It started with testing, before it was even gazetted. They were testing the waters and just speaking and saying, you know what, this thing of prayer in schools and assemblies and what and what and what, you know, has to be cancelled because we are a multi-religious country and all that and stuff. But they were saying it with subtleness because if you can remember very well, Christianity was used in many ways in this country. And one of the ways, I won't speak about the evil ways, one of the ways that they used to use Christianity was the notion of devotion. And you would realize that then when it turned into the 90s, even the people who were doing kwaito music will tell you that gospel music was beating them to the core. Because almost everybody had a notion of, you know, being a child of the Most High, or this notion of Christianity. Let me put it that way so that we can all understand. But it has faded away to such an extent that it is non-existent. It's very rare that you find massive revivals these days. It's difficult to do them. They're done occasionally. Maybe on quarters of the year and stuff. It's very rare. I know some people are going to be very angry with me, but even these men gatherings and stuff, they are slowing down. There would be men who would be flocking to the Free State, a multitude of them. But it's slowing down. And it's not because those people don't initiate that, but it's because we as the church, somewhat, somehow, we had taken a backseat when it comes to the unfolding morality of the communities where we find ourselves. And these are growing into monsters, big monsters, that we know how to defeat, but they had become so strong that it would take us even longer. Hey. The word is saying quite a lot of things here. To Adam, he says, because you have heeded the voice of your wife, and have eaten the tree which I commanded you, saying, you shall not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for your sake. In toil you shall eat of it all the days of your life. In toil you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Now, Adab was not left off the hook, even though he defended himself. He was not left off the hook. Sin was rebuked and there were repercussions. And sin, therefore, is looked at also as disobeying the commandments of the Most High. And others would say, missing the mark of holiness. Do we even know how to measure the mark of holiness nationally? I mean, Ezra was able to do it. How about us? Still surprised.
Radio buzzing of life, 657 AM.
657 AM, Radio Pulpit, coming to you live. We trust the Father is doing you good, blessing you so much in a mighty way. And of course, Moriti Muraka is on the line with Pastor Samuel Kabamba. Let me start tonight with Pastor Sam. Prof, when it comes to the notion of rebuking sin, that which is wrong, in the manner in which we should, have we become sluggish in that area? Have we become quiet? Or have we become faint in that area to an extent that we are no longer filling our domes? I realize that, but places like Konka, they are filling their domes to the brim by the very same people who used to fill our domes. There's something wrong if a Shebeen now is full of people who used to fill up these domes, these churches. There's something wrong. Anyway, how do you see it, Prof?
Yeah, thank you very much for the question. You know, sin will always be something that, in a way, to be honest with ourselves, we're supposed to be looking at it closely and also be able to not only just to rebuke it, but we're supposed to stay away from it.
Yeah.
Now, you will see that nowadays, sin has become something that we tend to accept. We tend to accommodate it. We tend to even tolerate it in a way. And it does not come only on the level of us as members. Actually, it started from the leaders, because the leaders are the ones who are showing us the way to treat sin. And now you see that we cannot, because we are called to live in holiness. That's what the Bible speaks to us. We need to be in holiness. We need to be clean. We need to be to stay away from anything that can jeopardize our relationship with the Father. Mm-hmm. That's the bottom line. But you see that, I mean, our leaders, people who are leading us today, they have a way of accommodating sin in such a way that, as far as, I mean, they are concerned, you know, they can go away. I mean, anything can go with them. But when it comes maybe to the members, that's where we see a bit of what we call, I mean, them rebuking it in a way. They can rebuke it maybe based on a certain teaching. They can rebuke it maybe by pointing at someone. But at the end of the day, when it comes to whatever interest, if there's any interest of theirs in whatever situation, sin is not spoken as maybe it used to be in the past. Because I don't know what has changed. Because we remember when we were starting, when we were growing in the things of God, somewhere we were very conscious about sin. Because we will know that sin is not good. Sin is a cancer. We know that sin was a cancer, and sin was, I mean, living in sin was not a good thing to be in. Because it's like as if you are walking on the road, you are walking wherever you go, like a spot, something that is on you that everyone can see. That's the way we used to feel, that, hey, I've committed sin yesterday, that I cannot just live with it. I cannot just continue living in sin. I mean, it was something that we will go faster. I mean, it will be, we'll find ways to ask for forgiveness and be clean and continue with our lives. That was something that we were kind of looking at.
then after some time, you start looking at them, things are becoming something that people don't really, that don't see it that way, don't see it as something important, and they start taking it for granted. That becomes now a problem. And then we have not to get to a place whereby we wake up from our sleep and say, hey, what is sin all about? Sin has to be something that people need to consider. Sin has to be something that people need to look at closely. Because if we don't do that, then we are missing the point. We need to wake up in that way. We need to wake up and start understanding that sin is still sin, and sin destroys, sin does not help anybody in whatever ways. Mm. That's one thing that I can say.
Mm. I hear you quite well, Muruti. Welcome to it, man. If you just joined us, welcome to it. We are talking about rebuking sin as we should. You know, I know others would say, yeah, we are rebuking sin, and what do you mean as we should? I mean that according to Scripture, according to the Word, are we rebuking sin according to the Word, or somewhat somehow we had gone on to become softies when it comes to rebuking sin? Have we become so soft that we have gone to an extent of looking at ourselves and saying, "Eish, if I rebuke this, I would not get this kind of allowance, you know, honorariums. You know, what do churches get from government? Whatever. I would not be getting that much. It would be cut off. It would be a big problem." And we see quite a lot of that these days. And, we need to be careful about that. 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 29. "Why do you kick at my sacrifice and my offering, which I have commanded in my dwelling place, and honor your sons more than me, to make yourselves fat with the best of all the offerings of Yasharal, my people?" And this is to the priesthood and the misbehaviors of the priesthood, and how this can really derail the nation. Are we incapable of rebuking sin because we ourselves are derailing the nation? Muritim Rakam, greetings, welcome.
Yes, my brother. That is the sad thing, that it actually starts in the church. And I want to align myself with Pastor Kabamba. Hmm. That there was a time when we, at least in our lifetime, and I suppose in generations in their lifetime, there is a time where they honor Yude Babe, where they walk according to the dictates of our Heavenly Father, but then they too familiar with him, no more maintaining the fear of Yudevade and sensitivity towards his holiness. And when that happens, we move away from dealing with sin, because sin is corrosive. Mm. And being corrosive, unless we address it, it will corrode everything. Now, I want to read a scripture in Revelation where the Messiah, through his angel that he sent to speak to the apostle Yohanan, so that he could write the letters to the churches, says it in chapter 3, verse 19. "As many as I love, I rebuke and I discipline. Mm. Therefore, be zealous and repent." Mm. You see, rebuke and discipline are necessary tools to help us to maintain an attitude of changing our thinking away from the thinking of fallen human beings, away from the natural Adamic thinking, and to be transformed to the refreshing of our thinking and our mind. So we hear that Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh himself, the three-in-one God, in love will apply rebuke and discipline to us so that we can maintain a zealous life of changing our thinking. Now, if we do not start there, perceiving that we should not despise, as Hebrews chapter 12 says, we should not despise his discipline. We should not despise his rebuke. We end up accommodating sin, even ending up promoting sin amongst ourselves. And once we have done that, how can we rebuke it in the nation? And this is what I always maintain, that we as the saints, we as the ones that are begotten above, are actually the spirit of the nation. And if we, because we have got the first fruit of the Spirit of God, so the true Spirit which created the heavens and the earth, the true Spirit which has revealed the moral standard of the Father, dwells in us. And if we are in any nation, regardless of denomination, grouping, or whatever, if we are begotten apart, we are joined in the spiritual realm, in our spirit to the Spirit of the Lord, because he dwells in us. We are joined to the Lord, glued to him, and we are one spirit with him. And therefore, in any nation where we are the spirit of that nation. However, if we do not perceive this, if this we are ignorant of it, if this is hidden from us, we won't be able to carry out our function towards the redemption purposes that Adonai has for our nation. The soul, I believe, of a nation is its leadership. And if its leadership is not being assisted by the saints, it will go off rails. The leadership will take decisions that are directly contrary to the will of the Father. Peter, in his letter, and Paul, in his letter to the Romans, they say something very, very important about authorities. They name the authorities in any nation as servants and ministers of Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh, description of us as saints. Because as saints, we are servants and we are ministers of Yudhavavi. Now, we don't do the same kind of service and same kind of ministry. Their ministry is to, and their service is to punish wrongdoing and to commend those who do good. That is why they are given the instrument of judgment. In Romans chapter 13, it says, they are not carrying the sword pointlessly. However, if we are not influencing them, because that's where our ministry is, we minister as priests and kings, spiritual sacrifices and presence of Yudhavavi. And the word of God says in Malachi, in the mouth of the priest is the doctrine, the teaching. If we are not doing that towards those who are in leadership, we are not impacting them that way, they go off the rails. No wonder there will be all kinds of corruption and all kinds of things, because we are not the salt to them. We are not the light to them. And the whole problem came up because we don't realize we are already connected if we are born again. And we are supposed to account one to the other. We have instead made these natural groupings that we are in to separate us, to make us not account to one another. The Messiah, and I'll summarize it here, my brother. The Messiah in Matthew chapter 18 says, if your brother has sinned against you, privately go to him and rebuke him. Not go to another person. Now, if you go in to your brother and you rebuke him for a sin which you have testimony about, it's not hearsay. The first thing that they will raise is, you are not in my church. And I am running this church. The vision is mine here. And who are you? You wanting to take my people away from me?
The vision is
and
mine.
And we don't realize once we do that, my brother, we are actually not hurting ourselves only. We are hurting the whole nation. Because right now, our nation is at a crossroads. And I thank God that we are at crossroads. Because we will call on him now. And hopefully we will also do soul searching as saints so that we start rebuking sin amongst ourselves first. And then we can be emboldened properly to speak as those that the Lord has sent prophetically to those that are doing their work of leadership.
I hear you quite well, Muruti. And of course, you know, we are those kinds of people today who want to be, you know, found to be in good standing with what is popular. And that in itself has really caused a lot of problems, you know, and to an extent that we see ourselves really shooting ourselves on the foot when it comes to standing for that which is right and speaking that which is according. You know, and we somewhat have, like, getting off the bandwagon, you know? And that is the problem we seem to have today. And that's a, you know, it's something that no one wants to even talk about. I mean, the very aspect where you said at times a person would actually say, who do you think you are? You're not even in my church. Or this is my church. You don't have a right to say anything. Or they will stop inviting you, you know, to their church because, you know, they think that, you know, you are a person that needs to, you know, how can I put this? You are a person that is not in line with the times. They would say that when you start rebuking sin, you're not in line with the times, man. You're not in line with the times. And you basically should move aside, step aside, you know. They want you off, you know. They want you off so that you shouldn't be disturbing them and all that. It's sad, though. It's sad. It's sad, you know. It's sad. Anyway, when we come back, I want to ask Pastor Samuel Kabamba also more about this, that are we afraid of even rebuking the leaders of today?
Come live the life at 657 AM.
Radio Pulpit understands that praying alone isn't always easy. So join us to form a chain of prayer for you and with you. To do so, send in your prayer requests on 067-429-7564. That is 067-429-7564, or alternatively email us on prayer@radiopulpit.co.za. That is prayer@radiopulpit.co.za.
It's good for you as our listener to know about Radio Pulpit's activities. Or do you need advice in an area of your life? Then why don't you log on to www.radiopulpit.co.za. Here you can talk to us, listen to us via live audio streaming, and there is also other reading material for the soul. What are you waiting for? Visit the Radio Pulpit website right now, www.radiopulpit.co.za. Radio Pulpit, your daily companion.
It's more than radio. It's a way of life. It's 657 AM.
Right, your daily companion, Radio Pulpit it is. And look at Samuel. He rebukes Saul. 1 Samuel chapter 13, verse 13, and Samuel said to Saul, "You've done foolishly. You've done foolishly. You've not kept the commandment of the Elohim, Yahuwah, which he commanded you. For now, the Elohim would have established your kingdom over Israel forever." Are we afraid of telling leaders like this, the way Nathan was able to tell, the way Samuel was able to tell Saul? I'll come to Nathan talking to David. Pastor Sam?
Yeah, thank you very much for the question. But, you know, the truth of the matter is, as I think Muruti Miraka mentioned that as well, it did, in terms of positioning, you know, sometimes what happens is about looking at the interest, looking at what you might lose in the process. Because today, what is happening is, I mean, some of us, we have that difficulties to stand up in, I mean, against our leaders, because we are looking at losing more than what we could gain, according to the teaching that they've kind of given to the churches. Now, there are teachings whereby leaders will come literally saying, you cannot touch the anointed one of God. I mean, that means if a leader has done something wrong, you do not go to him, because everybody will ask you, who are you to judge the servants of God? Who are you to judge the man of God? Who are you to speak bad against the man of God? That the man of God is untouchable. Now, you know, when things goes already that way, based on the teaching that has been given in the church, it becomes a problem, because people now are afraid. Because you see, today we have a lot of introduction of wrong teachings in our churches? Why today people have gone to accept even the demonic teachings in our churches? Why today people are agreeing anything. You know, when you sit there, you start thinking about the teachings that have been given all along. Like today, I was thinking a bit. I said, okay, let's reason a bit. Let's reason and see. Today, we see a lot of some men of God coming clean today. They come and say, no, you know what, we are sorry, we taught you wrongly and all this and all that. And then you see, you say, okay, fine. If you taught us wrong, but you mentioned by that time that the Holy Spirit spoke to you. Was that the Holy Spirit or something else? You know, these are questions we ask ourselves, because I can accept your apology, yes, but then, yes, let me accept your apology, but also let me think a bit. Not just accept the apology without thinking a bit, because a lot of lives, a lot of people have gone astray. They've committed sins. They've gone into many, many things out there just because of your wrong teaching. Now, when you come and say, you know what, I taught you wrong, you know, especially when it comes to like maybe the prosperity thing, you know, someone who say, no, you know, I did wrong, prosperity was not of God, I taught it wrongly and all that. But man, you've taken money from us. Today, it's okay that you cannot give that money back to us, but you can come with a way of pay that money back. You can say, fine, maybe all this year I will cover all the events. Because you have become a millionaire. You have money. You see, yeah. I'll cover all the events of the church. No, I won't ask any offering. I won't ask anything. There will be no offering whatsoever. But I'll cover the event of the church. I'll pay maybe the church rent, whatever. Just as a token. You say, I'm sorry for whatever I did. Here I come. I'm sorry. And I'm paying back whatever I took. Even if I cannot maybe pay to everybody. But I can still do something that everyone can see. This starts making a bit of sense. But, you know, because they're untouchable, when they do something wrong and they come and they apologize, nobody can question whatever evil they've done. Mm. You know, today there are people, literally, some men, they go and sleep around with women. Sleep around. I heard this preacher, it's on the news. Used to be a preacher of a big church somewhere I won't mention the place because, I mean, people will know where that's the thing. The man did a lot of wrong things. He was kicked out of the church. He went to America. Now, he wants to come back to ministry by starting his own church. Now, people are asking questions. You slept with other people's, wife. And it was known by everybody. Today, yes, your wife has forgiven you. It's okay. But you want to come and start the church. On which basis you want to start the church? Mm. He has already put them in Muruti, I know you follow things, so you see that already by this Sunday, because it's already this Sunday that he must start the church, because he has been advertising it and so on and so forth. Yeah. But you see, this is the issue whereby you get to a place whereby people, they don't care. They do their own thing. They come back. Nobody can question whatever is gone. While the Bible is calling us that we are there, we are one another, we are one another keepers, if I might put it that way. We are brothers keepers. We have to sit and talk to one another and discuss. The Bible even goes further by saying, confess sins between yourself. That means we need to come to a place where you come and say, hey, you have done this, okay, you've done that, but, you know, it does not really give you maybe the right to do again what you did like yesterday or whatever, or maybe to become what you used to be yesterday. Because, see, we need to come to that place. You know, the Bible speaks, I'm going to just read something in the book of Ephesians. Ephesians 5:11 says what, and 12, 11 actually says what? Mm. Take no part to the unfruitful works of darkness. But instead, expose them.
Yeah.
I mean, we need to come to that place of exposing the works of... I always tell people, listen, we cannot judge the unbelievers, because the judgment on the unbelievers, that belongs to the Father. He knows what he's going to do with them. But as far as we Christians are concerned, the Bible gives us the right to judge one another. That we can sit on the air, what you're doing is not right. Because we are here as brothers keepers. Mm. I am protecting you, are protecting me. And if I see something that is not right, the Bible says, don't take part to any unfruitful work of darkness. That means sin. Don't accept sin to come to the church and sit there and somebody committing it and just come out there as if he has never done it, and he goes as if, I mean, he's untouchable, and then we continue laughing like that. Today, there are pastors who literally, they will go out there, they will commit all kinds of sins, they will steal money, they will be into whatever thing. When they come back, we accept them as if they've never done that. But look at the brothers, the simple brothers and sisters in the church, when they do the same, they commit the same mistake. Believe you me, they will be suspended. Mm. They will be presented in front of everyone, being picked out, some they even, I mean, being changed from, I mean, for good from the church because of the mistake they have committed. Now, what do? You ask the question, can we do like the Samuel who go and speak to Saul? Can we go like Nathan will go to David and say, what you've done is not right? Can we be those type of Christians who will be there standing for one another? Because, I mean, there is no such a thing like one has the bigger Holy Spirit and the other one has the smaller one. You know, somebody asked me a question, you know, I mean, man of God, speak to us, tell us, I mean, do you men of God have different Holy Spirit or what? I said, why are you asking that question? He said, no, because you will see that, I mean, this man of God will come and agree and accept this other one will come and accept that, this other one will come and refuse that, and we ask ourselves a question, is this the same Holy Spirit speaking to you, or is different Holy Spirit? And I just responded, listen, a lot of us today, we don't listen to the Holy Spirit. We listen to what we see, we listen to what we have been experiencing all along. Some they go with their culture, some they go with the system that they've seen, I mean, around them, and they've established something that has become a custom, that has been established. And because it's been established, nobody can deny it, nobody can remove it, nobody can refute it. Even when they go wrong, nobody can come and tell them something. And that way, they become even more specialist into what we call the court versions of the Bible that defend them. Don't touch the anointed one of God. You are, who are you to judge? When God called me, were you there? I mean, I have a special anointing on me. And we come up with all these excuses, words that do not really, truly, don't even give any, I mean, it does not really say anything whatsoever about God. And I believe strongly, the other thing is, the children of God today, we don't read the Bible. We don't take time to read the scriptures. We don't take time to listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit. And it becomes a problem because today, if the Holy Spirit has never spoken to you, you've never heard the Holy Spirit saying anything to you, what will happen? Whatever that somebody will tell you out there, you will say amen to it. Why? Because you don't have any excuse, you don't have anything that you can say in order to resist or in order to, I mean, to confront what that other man is saying. Mm. That's why they take us even into some practices today that we believe, because those practices look spiritual, we accept them in the name of what? In the name of ignorance, because we don't know. And this is the issue today, man of God, that we need to come to that place of, I'm in the mission of encouraging the children of God to spend time with the Father. Mm. That's my mission. Hey, I'm not special. I'm not more knowledgeable than you. We are not, I mean, you being a man of God does not give me more access to God than you. No. Mm. We are all of us children of God.
Yes.
And being the children of the Father, we can speak to him at any given time, and he can speak to us. And if we can understand that, then what do we do? We can avoid a lot of things. You know, sin cannot be something that we can accommodate. The Bible says, do not be part of it. Expose it. When you see something that is not right, say it. Man of God, today, pastors are doing all kinds of things. They are standing in front of everyone, saying whatever they think they can say. They can chase someone from the church, say, hey, if you don't want to listen to me, the door is widely open, and nobody will stand to him, nobody will go to him and say, Pastor, what you've done is not right, it's wrong. Nobody. Because of what? You are afraid. They might also kick you out. And if they kick you out, maybe you're going to lose some interest. And there are some people today, they can see, they've seen that their pastors are stealing money from the church, but they cannot say anything because they are also getting, I mean, a share in it. Mm. What do? They keep quiet. And things go that way, and the victims are the people, are the members, because we don't have a say. We come to on Sunday. Every Sunday, we don't even know sometimes why we are coming to church, because we can come there. Someone can come. One day I said, yeah, there are times where your pastor will invite you to come to pray to church, not praying based on the will of the Father, but praying because he has a problem himself. He cannot pray by himself. He invites the whole church to come and pray with him. And then you are coming to pray not according to the will of God. That's a sin. That is against God. And there are a lot of us, we find ourselves in the house of, in our churches, praying without knowing why we are praying. We just start casting out devils, and we don't know where we're casting out devils, casting them from where to where. We don't even know. Mm-hmm. We will be praying, scattering and kicking and, I mean, sending fire to people and whatever. There are a lot of teachings today. If we sit and we look at them closely, they are just against the Father from the introduction to the conclusion. They're against the Father, but we agree with them, and we let them, and we accommodate them. I think it's high time for the children of God to be very observant. By the help of the Holy Spirit, when you see something is not right, don't go around, don't beat around the bush, as Murut Murka said. Go to your man of God. He is a man like you. Man, I respect you, but what you are saying these days in the church, I don't get it right. Man of God, let's go to the scriptures. What is the Bible saying? Because that is a sin against God and against us that we are listening to you. But who will do that if we cannot have bold people who can stand and do the right thing?
I hear you quite well. The time has just gone on to 3 minutes, just 3 minutes before the hour 7. You can send us your WhatsApps, 0826572729, and tell us how you feel about this. Are we rebuking sin the way we should as the body of Christ, as the church? Or have we become so timid that we actually are afraid of being politically incorrect, of being wrong? Are we rebuking sin the way we should, according to the word? Or have we become lax, you know, so much soft when it comes to this? And what's the point? What's the reason? Why have we become so soft, even amongst us? You know, we had become so quiet because we are afraid that we might lose favor with some of the people who pump money in. Ish, yeah. Something of that kind.
Real radio for real people, serving a real God. Tune in to Radio Pulpit 657 AM. Download our app and listen on radiopulpit.co.za.
Do you need prayer? WhatsApp your name and your prayer request to 082-657-2729. And our care center will gladly contact you to pray for you.
Do you read the Word for Today daily devotionals? We wish to ensure that your copy reaches you on time. You can now receive the booklet directly at an address of your choice or via email if you prefer. It's easy. Visit radiopulpit.co.za, select your choice, and update your details. Or SMS the word devotional to 37871. You will receive a reply SMS with the options. Alternatively, contact client services on 012-334-1257. Standard rates apply.
From your ear to your heart, to your mouth, to your feet, join this life on 657 AM. You and 657 AM and life, a winning team on the road to eternity.